Welcome to episode 94. This is GamerCast.
And I'm Paul, and this is our show for the 28th of October 2007, which is episode 94.
Getting close to 100.
Yeah, only 6 weeks away.
Assassin's Creed.
Then we can retire.
Yeah.
We've done 100 podcast episodes. In your face, all those podcasts only got to like six.
Then you got to 100.
Yeah, then we died because it cost too much money.
So, first on, we had no letters. Come on, people, where are your letters? Give us some feedback. You make the show.
Somebody did send an email to feedback at gamercast.net, but it was a spam email.
Ooh, spam.
It was like for a spam to that address.
Ooh.
Which is quite strange because that address isn't like publicized anywhere. It's only like on the show. So maybe the spam engines can now go through podcasts extracting email addresses.
Hmm.
In which case, I recommend that they also spam the Doom Hunter at noobhunter.
Dot noob.
Yeah, how is the Noob Hunter doing?
No, I have no
you
time
ain't
to
done
do
anything.
I have no time to do anything for the moment. I'm so busy doing all the DIY for the flat because we want to move, so I don't get a chance to do anything. I still got that second website to build. I am finished Halo 3. I'm still trying to play WoW. I'm just.
I want to play WoW. I'm still waiting for Catherine to want to play it though.
I've got to level. Partway through level 29. And I picked up. My mate gave me this very cool how to guide.
How
playing WoW.
How to play WoW.
But instead of this whole, yeah, you got to do this, you got to be grinding here and do this here.
Grinding,
you know, like where you basically just go around and kill
I'm
everything.
I'm not on a skateboard, dude.
A grinding is a term for going around and killing everything that moves, basically. You're just going around finding anything at a certain level and just killing them.
That's what I do anyway.
Instead of the completing quest. Where this guide's quite good, it's done by a pro gaming team. And what they've done is they've listed out... from level 1 to level 70, it was a 115-page PDF. And basically,
a PDF?
Yeah.
What is this, the 1990s?
And it basically, it was stating...
Everybody uses, what is it called? XPS now.
Yeah.
What I do anyway. I don't use PDF.
But it's quite good because the whole thing's based around quests. It's some of the quests it says ignore these unless you really want to do them. And it just lists out quests, and when you finish those quests, it says right, you should be getting close to this level. One idea that I did like was use up one of your character slots for a banker. So on the server you're on, create a character that's a banker. Probably best to do it as a human because it's easy to get to the city without having to fight anything at level 1. Go standing next to the bank and that post box, and when you're off on a quest and you filled up all your stuff, all you got to do is go to a small town. You don't have to go back to the big town cities where the auction houses are. All you got to do is mail everything to your other bloke and then get him to put them on and sell it and then send the money back. So you have your own auction bloke. So you don't have to keep sending yourself back. And it's like telling you, right, if you do all these quests, by the time you've done those, you should be getting close to this level. And it says, right, now walk back to here, sell loads of stuff, and then fly over here. Don't forget to pick up this travel path while you're there, and move back round here. Keep hold of these, do all these quests, do these secondary quests, then come back to here. And it's quite good of the fact, instead of saying, oh, you just need to do this, this, and this, and he doesn't care how to do the quest, he just says, here's a list of quests you should be doing in this place, then move on to this place.
Our friend in the chat room, Mr. Awis, informs us that he did that in Final Fantasy XI.
cool. I played Final Fantasy XI for a while.
I didn't.
I wasn't big impressed on it because, I don't know, it didn't grab me straight away.
Grab you crisis style.
Some grab me, some don't. I must admit, I loved Star Wars Galaxies, but I never really got into it big time. I liked playing it, but I never really got into it.
It was Noob Hunter down.
WoW and City of Heroes are my two favourite ones.
We should use a tablet PC to record. It's probably a better quality microphone.
Oh, I actually had a downloaded some demos and had a little play.
You downloaded some microphone demos?
No, Microsoft games
Microsoft.
For Xbox 360 on the demo.
Microsoft. Like old school 1980s logo, Microsoft.
Can't remember what I've actually downloaded now.
Microprocessors.
Quick flick, but I had to go in another massive multiplayer game. No, you're confusing me now. I can't think what it's called. Fantasy Star
Universe. Online. Universe even.
Yeah, the Universe one. Had a quick go on that. That was quite cool. One thing I do like about that, which I wish they would do more in massive multiplayer online, is you go up when you're in the mall and you're coming back from fighting. There is a door. When you go there, it's like a lift that takes you to this imaginary corridor, which you don't see, but you're basically going up to your room. So it loads you to a preloaded room. But friends in your team can come to your room and find you and say, hey, do you want to come play? And they'll be like, alright. So you have like a lock on your door.
Hey, do you want to come play? No.
So you can lock your door. You've got these cupboards that you can put all your... It's basically a storage thing where it's a bit like when you go to the bank and you store all your items. You store your items in your room.
I store money in my bank account.
Imagine Whistle jumping to say this now, but it's kind of like on Final Fantasy...
Final Fantasy 11,
they did exactly the same thing.
Yuna
has
turned into a zombie, and that bloke, Titus, or whatever his name is, has to kill her.
And you had rooms to go and put your stuff in and decorate
and
them.
And then that Riku person sets fire to somebody as well.
Okay. You're scaring me.
You should be scared.
Scared. But, yeah, I like that. It was quite good. But I'll play some more on the demos that I've been downloading, and we'll look at those next week. Right.
Doomed all who've been in the home world.
Halloween. Don't worry, I'm not going to start going on about the Halloween in WoW.
Oh, WoW. Give me some money so I can play.
Why don't you register online with my monthly subscription money that I'm giving you? I'm giving it to you this week. I only get a chance to get to a bank because I just got back from Wales. £20.
I need that money to pay for the server. That bloody thing is expensive.
Yeah.
Which is why it's now being shut down as of now. Live show is dead. All the episodes are now removed.
Right. So
we'll put up one episode per month, and we'll cycle all the back ones through as well. Red versus blue style.
Halo 3, Halloween.
Yeah, there's some Halloween thing going around for Halo 3. I suspect they've copied WoW in that they have Halo 3 Halloween stuff in Halo 3.
Curious, they're just going for the whole holiday thing, which is a good tie-in. It gives you something cool to play.
It was good. Team Fortress at Christmas with, you threw out grenades and they were presents and stuff.
Yeah.
Presents that explode like grenades, but need more stuff like that.
Yeah.
More weirdo stuff.
It is pretty cool. Xbox Division posts profit for the quarter. So how are they doing?
They've made a couple of quid profit.
It's always worth it.
Yeah, this came as part of a big financial announcement for Microsoft, where they announced 88 million copies of Windows Vista have been shifted. I don't know how many copies of Office.
Where did they ship them to? Did they move them from one?
They moved them from one warehouse to their warehouse in Ireland.
Bill Gates came in and said, "Look, I want all these million copies of Vista stacked on that side. I want them over there." And they're like, "Sir, you're crazy. Move them."
Yeah,
later, they'd moved them from one side to the other.
No, they didn't. They tilted the building up. So yeah. Xbox also made a profit thanks to Halo 3, no doubt. Mm. Is that pulled in $300 million dues?
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, Microsoft stock was actually up 10%.
Not surprised.
Which is like the most movement it's done since like the 90s. And it was their biggest quarter since 1999. So yeah, all the Linux people who think Microsoft is dead, you need to check facts. Especially as it's just been recently announced that Linux is being torn up in the server space as well, losing out to Windows.
Oh dear.
And especially with Ubuntu 7.10 was released like last week or the week before. It's so crap. Right, set up the installer running through it. Now I've had Linux distros for like years. I usually had Red Hat, then I moved to SUSE, then Ubuntu over the last like year. I had been running 6.4 or whatever, but then I tried 7.04, which had a few problems in that the mouse wouldn't work. If you've got a PS2 mouse, forget.
You'll have USB.
And I PS2. In my virtual machine where I run it, it's only a PS2 mouse. So the few problems there, that's the same. That isn't fixed in 7.10. So 6 months, they haven't fixed that. I think the mouse not working is a pretty significant bug.
Yeah.
So what you have to do to get it to work is you have to go into the bootloader and type in all this crap after, like, iBaby42.noloop, blah, 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 to get the mouse to work. But then when an update comes through, you have to do it again.
So every time it updates, it screws up your little fix.
Yeah.
Well, that's retarded.
And another problem is I can't use resolutions higher than 1024 by 768. Although Ubuntu have added a new revolutionary feature in 7.10, get this, they've added a like control panel thing where you can pick the resolution of the display and like what your display is. Before, you had to do that via the command line. So that's an important step forward. You have like a GUI interface to do that. So that's good, but it doesn't actually fucking work. I put it on like a. It doesn't even show me 1920 by 1200. It shows me up to like 1600 by 1200. So I select that, it doesn't work. It says you need to log out to apply these settings, blah, 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 log out, test. And then it comes back in safe mode. Right, okay, that's good. So yeah, Ubuntu, they need to get their act together. Especially because in like the Microsoft news groups, all the Linux trolls of SN, or somebody posts the problems with like Windows, I'll format and install Linux. Ask them if they have a PS2 mouse first. And if they do, tell them not to do it.
You want to add a side post in there.
So yeah, it's pretty pathetic. And that bug was introduced in the Linux kernel, so all distros suffer from it. And it isn't fixed. You know, you've got one side who are like these hardcore geeks saying, yeah, just add this on the command line, fair enough. But then you've got the other half of the Linux saying, yeah, this is ready for the mass market, yeah, let's chuck it out there. And then you flip in mum installs it and she can't use the mouse. Well, you can't even install it without the mouse. You need the mouse to even install it.
That's crazy. Right. New demo out.
Unless you use, well, you could, I suppose you could put on like the grid thing on the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Apple released Leopard as well. That's a big flop.
What the hell's Leopard?
macOS 10.5.
Ooh.
Big flop. It's got revolutionary new features like a backup program called Time Machine. Trademarked.
What does it do? It goes back and sets your computer back to a previous setting.
I don't know what the hell is going on at Apple. It's got the most ridiculous UI in the universe. So when Steve Jobs announced this proudly on stage and the whole world went, wow! Like, I don't know, what, 18 months ago now? It's on my blog, check it out. Basically what it is it's like, it's sort of a cross between System Restore, which has been in Windows since 1999, and previous versions, so previous versions here. Mm-hmm. Restore previous versions. although this probably won't have any because it's a massive file and I've only just made a copy of it. Right. So it's basically a mix between that. So previous versions was in Windows in 2003. So yeah, they announced this thing, super duper blah blah blah, Time Machine, fancy name. You know, it's like a boot camp, fucking fancy name for a bootloader. It's just a bootloader. Anyway, so this thing's called Time Machine. What it lets you do is let's find a directory on my hard drive. Do ATI.
That one seemed a bit full then.
Oh yeah, that's my recording TV thing. So here we go. I can see previous versions of the so that's how it looked on the 18th of October 1324.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how Windows Vista does it. Time Machine does it. The whole screen goes black, and then you get this star field come up, and then it shows you all the windows like cascaded over each other, and you can use the mouse wheel to scroll through. So it's like a ripoff of that, basically. Only like.
And it's only, but it's only for Time Machine.
Yeah.
So they give the same features as Vista, but it's only when actually working out whether or not you've screwed something up.
So yeah, let's have a quick look on YouTube because there's bound to be a video of it. It's like so over the top and absolutely pointless. Brand new footage of Leopard. And all the Mac fanboys are just going nuts about it.
Leopard. Time Machine automatically uses a spare copy of everything you've done on your Mac, so you'll never lose a file again.
Because you always do.
File, and it doesn't even show up in Spotlight. Just click Time Machine, and Spotlight will search the past to locate it.
It's so over the top, it's
use
ridiculous.
Use QuickLook to verify that you found the right file. Then bring it back to the present with one click.
So yeah.
Scary.
The UI for it is over the top.
Going back through time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people say, oh, Microsoft's UI is always, like, over the top and blah, blah, blah. Look at this. You've got a list. A list. Just a list. Simple, easy to use. A list of all the stuff. And the worst thing is, despite all this, like, you know, System Restore and previous versions all uses the same hard drive. So it takes, you know, 15% or whatever it is of your hard drive to do that. With this, you need a separate hard drive. So if you've got a laptop, which is what they sell most of us, you need an external drive to use it, or else it just doesn't work. You can't do it over the network. You can't do it onto DVDs. You need an external drive. Or an internal drive if you're on a desktop machine. Or it doesn't work. I mean, what the hell kind of automatic backup program is that?
Oh, sorry.
Windows
won't work because
backs
you
up to my server. Previous versions backs up automatically to the same drive.
Sorry, Time Machine won't work because at the time you were playing with your Mac on a train. It was screwed at the moment and you can't go back and fix it because it wasn't working. Oh dear.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous.
Right, new demo out.
But...
Oh, you want to keep talking.
Yeah, so they released Leopard on the same day that Microsoft announces all its, like, financial stuff, and it's just like Apple is just washed out.
Whoosh.
Yeah, Apple are a flop. Mm. With their 3% market share.
Right, demo.
Yeah, new demo released a couple of days back now. This one is, I'm sure some of you have heard of it, but this game is called Crysis. It's for the PC, and it's a shooter. Basically, it's a good game, although it has flaws with its storyline.
Weird storyline. Not what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's a standard American propaganda storyline with a twist in it.
Yeah. Some sort of weird twist. And
so, yeah,
some of these cool
suits. They're so evil. The evil North Koreans invade an island in the Pacific somewhere.
Very kind of...
What do they invade it with? Their dinghies. Oh, the dinghies and the soldiers, oh no.
And a dinghy. But suits are quite cool. Where do they
look? So you play as some special agent type Fox Mulder / warrior /
Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid slash Snake slash Old Man slash Master Chief slash Fancy Suit.
Yeah.
Slash Hitman Fancy Suit.
Which has got some weird ability to augment your body so that you're basically the Million Dollar Man. You know, they've made
except
you,
there's like four or five.
Yeah, you can run faster, swim faster, jump higher. You armored your cloak. You, what was the other one? Yeah, run faster, hit harder.
Okay, basically,
you're the Million Dollar Man.
One of the twists of this game is, like a few games have tried, they've tried to give you like power ups and shit.
Mm.
So with this, your suit is what gives you the power ups. So for example, you can press a button and you can become strong and like throw things really far and jump higher. Or you can be fast and run like twice as fast for like these powers only last for like a few seconds.
Yeah, it's just like a quick boost, stimulant.
Or you've got cloak where you go invisible. Or you've got extra armor. So the suit's basic mode is to provide armor.
Mm.
That's like its basic function.
But then you can. It's a bit kind of like saying whatever the suit is doing to give you that extra armor, it shuts that down to all of a sudden give you a bit more strength so you can jump over a Jeep and headshot someone as you clear it. Or punch the Jeep and knock it flying and kill the guy on the impact where it hits the tree. Or move out the way of something quicker by running faster. But it doesn't mean that it's kind of like a Metal Gear Solid after you complete it the first time and you can run everywhere. The cloak only lasts for a few seconds, a bit kind of like how it was in Halo 2 when you played as what'd you call him?
The Arbiter.
The Arbiter.
Not play as an alien, you play as some dude.
Yeah.
But interestingly, you can change your... So you actually hear a character in-game, like, reply to the radio man and stuff. And you can change his voice from a bloke to a woman.
That's cool.
That's good. That'll
please. You never see his face. It's always, you're always seeing from his eye perspective.
Yeah. But apparently, there's a third person perspective though. So I'll have to have a play with that in a minute. I've only literally downloaded it this evening, so I've not really had much chance to play it.
It does look cool. The suit kind of glows different colours as it changes mode, and you hear this computer voice acknowledging. Maximum armor.
Maximum uber.
Cloak. So, no, it's quite good. It's definitely
Maximum game.
The engine itself.
So, yeah, it's the Crytek engine, which is like follow on to a Far Cry engine.
They've gone for the same sort of style island as Far Cry, but looks absolutely amazing. The lighting system's good. You got a glimpse of that as you're coming over an edge.
So, yeah, this is the game, which is, you know, DirectX 10, Windows Vista, Uber. You know, it's the Uber game that everyone on the PC has been waiting for. And I think it does deliver on the graphics point of view, even on my system, which is a 1900 Radeon X, whatever it bloody is. It runs quite well.
Mm.
So even on high, it was...
You still moved around, it was just...
I could still almost play it until it got a bit busy. On medium, even on medium, it still looks really good.
But, No, I must say, I was quite impressed with it.
But of course, what you'd really have is like the Radeon 2900 or the GeForce 8800.
I like the way that it makes the surroundings busy. The water looks amazing. The flowing of the liquid going around on the ocean beach and everything. The palm trees and stuff, the fact that foliage gets quite thick and you don't feel like you're being filtered away from greenery that looks nice, but you shouldn't be touching it or going nearing it. It's got that classic, you know, blow the crap out. So you can stand there and do that scene from Predator where he's got the chain gun. You haven't got a chain gun, but you could pretend. And just blow the crap out of thick foliage area shooting at someone. And you would drop all these trees. And that's what I like about it. It's giving that nice environment feel. It's going to make some games seem so crap when you go back and play old school games in comparison to this. I must admit, from playing stuff like Ghost Recon on the Xbox, where there's some moments that are quite like this, that sort of game are going to absolutely love this engine style, just for the fact that now you are going to have a lot more foliage to hide people in so that you're not just walking along and see someone, you know, camouflage really will work these days with this sort of foliage system, so I'm quite impressed with the way that it looks. It's very cool. The suit system and the way it's animated is really nice. It's got this very muscular
look to it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of the drawings that I've studied when I was doing animation, doing my life drawing courses. And you see pictures of people in poses tensing up their muscles, and they've been drawn without any skin on, so all you see is the muscle clumps and the clusters of muscles moving around over the bones. And the suit's been designed to look a lot like that. It's got this really cool intro scene on the game that shows the inside of the suit is dripping stuff into your skin to make your body able to do this, but at the same time it's enhancing your body. But it's quite cool. It's kind of like you're a special forces team. You know, you go in and do the stuff that no one's supposed to know that you were doing. So it's got that kind of weird feel to it. But like Paul said, some of it's a kind of bit fictitious. But obviously, it's a game. It's fantasy.
Pick on the North Koreans.
Yeah,
we only destroyed every single two-story building in their country the last time we went to war with them. So let's assume they're evil and plotting revenge.
Yeah,
you're ridiculous.
Well, they can't pick on the Russians anymore. Who else have we got to pick on?
Pick on China. They don't mind, honestly. China can put up a fight. Stop picking on weak countries. Be manly.
I suppose they picked on the Arabs enough. They want someone that's actually got who can fight.
They
back
want
decently.
Somebody who actually has aircraft, ships, and all the other things you can use to fight a war, instead of a bloke with an AK-47, which is half rusted up.
With
bullets.
Grenade launcher and missile launcher strapped over his back, you know, the one use of. But
he's got a World War II Panzerfaust, which he found in somebody's attic somewhere. That's his weaponry. Come on, get real.
But, no, it looks like it's going to be a good engine. And
oh no, Osama bin Laden's in his cave plotting.
You just go into the
cave.
A bloke
in a cave.
It's like, ooh, I found bin Laden's cave. Cloak activated. Walk in there and the other thing that's quite cool with the system is the fact you can go up and grab people by the throat and pick them up. And obviously you've got the strength on, you can like strangle them and you can throw them. Paul showed me that you can pretty much pick up anything, so he picked up this turtle, which he kind of threw by accident at a rock and killed it.
I didn't mean to kill it, I thought it was okay.
And you pick up this bird, and it's kind of its head's bobbing all over the place, and you throw it at the rest of them, and it really does make the surroundings feel very textury, and it's very thick. It does give an element that it's not screaming in your face, look at this. Fair enough, for the first 5 minutes it kind of just reminds you a bit like when you walked out of the dungeon playing Oblivion for the first time and you just spend 5 minutes just standing by the lake going, wow, this looks cool. And then you get on and play the game. This, because it hits you from the first moment when you land on the beach, the game kind of like hits you with all this cool stuff that you're slightly forgetting that this environment looks so realistic. And
The game starts off like sort of grey and drab. It's sort of nighttime-ish, and so in a lot of forums you have people whining, "Oh my god, this game looks really crap. It's all dull and dark and boring." Mm. But then you like round this corner and you see the sun starting to come up, and
the sun will continue to keep coming up. So
yeah, it will keep coming up and up and up and up until it explodes.
So
it reaches the top of the sky and then it just explodes like a light bulb.
But the cool thing is when you first came over showing me, you're trying to find this jamming antenna, and Paul stood in the only place where you couldn't see the jamming antenna because it was blocked by this building, and as he looks up he goes, yep, there's the jamming antenna, and he's staring at the sun.
I'm staring
okay,
at the sun.
The Koreans have the sun as a jamming antenna. But no, it is very cool, and it's got a nice look to it. There's the engine itself, you know, take away the gaming of it, you know, that engine, like what they did with Far Cry. It's going to be interesting to see who buys it and makes any games.
I'll buy it, £20.
But
good deal if you ask me.
No, I'm quite impressed with that. Right, anything else you wanted to talk about the demo?
No, the demo, really good. It's 2 gigs or 1.8 gigs. You can download it from like loads of websites, like your favourite gaming website. They have it and you can download it.
Okay, next I'm going to do my review look at the orange box on the Xbox 360. purchase a copy of that. When you play the Orange Box on PC, it is literally just click on which game you want to play on, and then it'll load that game, doesn't it?
Yeah, Steam opens, and you can pick from the game list, or you can launch the games individually from the shortcuts.
Right. One thing that, obviously, because this is a console game, it's going to be loading us straight off the disc. You don't load individual games. You basically load the orange box, and what you get are these buttons across the bottom. And the it's got like this desktop background showing you Half-Life 2, and it's got Welcome to City Center 13, whatever it's called.
17.
And
noob.
It's going on about that, and then you see all the other ones. You realise you click across, and all of a sudden it brings up the background for episode 1. And you click to episode 2, and it brings up the background for episode 2. And then it's got Portal, and it's got that stupid Portal voice bloke talking in the background, and then you go to Team Fortress. So it allows you to jump in and choose it, and then it brings up the standard options to save and change all your options for that game. Portal, absolutely amazing. Everything works really well control-wise with the Xbox 360 controller. The Xbox 360 handles the power of the Source engine really well. Obviously, I've not played episode 1 or 2 because I haven't completed Half-Life 2 yet, because I never got it back on my computer because I hated Steam. So this is my opportunity to play Half-Life 2, get up to where I'd got to, and continue on the game. I've had a go at Half-Life 2. Plays absolutely wonderfully with the controller system. Nothing takes over a mouse, but the Xbox 360, there's no niggles. It doesn't make you think, I'll want it back on the PC. So if you like playing first-person shooters on your Xbox, it's definitely good. And for 5 games in the box, it's definitely worth it. The only thing I did not like, and obviously it should hopefully be fixed, but Team Fortress 2 was absolutely crap.
Why was that?
You walk out, and you stand there, and you look around, and you press forwards to walk forwards. Nothing happens. You look around.
Are you sure you're pressing the right button?
And you pull the trigger. Nothing happens. All of a sudden you run forwards and you blow the crap out of something.
Oh, that's just lag. Stop being a baby.
Major lag. And everybody's logging in and out of every server because everything's lagged up. And then all of a sudden it works. And you're running around for a few seconds, and all of a sudden you stand still and it stops moving again. And it was impossible to play. So hopefully that the servers are going to be sorted out. I don't know if it was because they were being hammered by people or because someone...
Well, it's not the servers.
Someone's creating the game.
It's peer-to-peer, so it's people's connections.
Yeah. So for that, it was kind of annoying. But other than that, I did actually get to have one go at Team Fortress 2, which did not lag. And it was good. Really, really good. But... the good thing about it is, fair enough, the rest of the game is not multiplayer, it's only Team Fortress 2, so...
There is an update for Orange Box, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah, I read that today, so I'm not sure if it's out now or if it's out next week.
Well, that's cool. So hopefully that might fix the bug, but I was definitely impressed with it. I'm not annoyed by it or anything. I even let my mate Jimmy have a go on it, and he goes, I hate you. This is probably what will make me buy a 360. Because he loves Half-Life, and he never got around to playing Half-Life 2 because he never had a computer PC that would play it. It won't run on his laptop very well. So he's like, must buy 360 for Half-Life 2. But no, I was definitely impressed with it. It's worth getting, and for $39.99 or cheaper if you get it on Play or something, it's definitely worth it just for the fact that you are getting 5 games. Okay, maybe some of you out there have Half-Life 2, and obviously Half-Life 2 was out on the Xbox. So, you know, if you never went out and bought it...
Was it?
Yeah, Half-Life 2 was on the Xbox, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's Counter-Strike, wasn't it?
So, you know, if you've got it on
Half-Life 1 was on the PS2.
Yeah. So if you've either never had it, or you only got so far and you never went into the other ones, or you were like, can't be bothered with episode 1 or whatever, if you're first to it, fair enough. I must admit, you're missing out on not playing Half-Life, but jumping on Half-Life 2, you'll pick up the idea of what's happening anyway, and even if you don't care about the storyline, you want a great looking game, you can run around and blow the crap out of stuff, then you'll slide into it really quick. I must admit, for myself, who've only played bits of Half-Life, and I've never got all the way to the end, I'd have Paul show me the ending. Even I roughly know what's going on enough that I can start playing the game and I can enjoy it. So it's definitely worth it for the fact you're getting five games. Portal, I'm absolutely loving it. It is really good, and I hope something more comes from that system. It's very cool. I found myself with a really, really short roof in a corridor, decided to put a portal above my head and blow my head, and Sarah wondered what the hell was going on the computer, because it was just going making this really loud noise as I'm passing the same area so fast, and then shot one out and went flying across the level at a hell of a speed. But it would be really, really nice to see something done with that, with a mod for some sort of shooting game, running around and having these portals. For sniping, it'd be absolutely amazing. Find this really, you know, good sniping position, but you don't want to shoot a portal over somewhere else for another sniping position, shoot one somewhere else, and you just stick your gun through the portal and snipe people out. It's definitely good. But I've got to play a little bit more of it. And obviously, I'll give you my thoughts on episode 1 and 2 as I get to them. But no, definitely good. I'd say it's just as good as the PC version from watching Paul play it, so definitely worth it. As well, I bought myself a copy of
Zelda:
The Legend of Zelda, The Phantom Hourglass.
The Phantom Monkey.
This is a sequel. It is actually a sequel to Wind Waker. Storyline starts off with explaining roughly what happened in Wind Waker and carries on straight afterwards. Obviously, you don't have the baton anymore or anything like that. You don't have the Master Sword, and it's just kind of like you passed all of your powers over because you've saved the day, and you're just hanging out with Princess Zelda on a boat, and then everything turns pear shape and you've got to save the day as usual. The boat system's really cool, and there are buttons you can use, but everything that you can press a button, there is a button on the screen for you to press the stylus. If you wanted to, you could play this on the train and only ever use the stylus. You never have to use any button combinations or anything. It's all done by the stylus. You move in with a stylus, you attack with a stylus. Shooting with a stylus is really cool. Having the boomerang, you draw its...
A boomerang? Oh my
its
God.
Path and everything. I haven't got any further than a boomerang. I've only got the boomerang and a spade. But it is... very cool. The storyline is nice. The dungeon system is really nice. The main dungeon, you can only get so far, then you have to go off and find other things and come back. And the idea of this Phantom Hourglass is it says how long you've got in the dungeon.
6 minutes.
And every time you beat a boss, you get more sand in your hourglass to complete more of it. But when you come out, when you go back in, everything resets in the dungeon, so you've got to do it all over again to get more stuff out of it. So it's got this ability to replay that you're not going to complete the game too quick without them having to overfill the game, because obviously it's on the DS, they can only fit so much in, especially with the engine they're using. It very close to keeping him looking like Link from Wind Waker. Control system, very intuitive. You don't feel like you really want to get rid of the stylus. There is no other way to use it other than with a stylus, but it didn't make you think, I don't like this. It does work really well. I was a bit bothered that it was going to be a bit lame because it was going to be so different, but it's such a different way of controlling Link, and it still gives you that nice feel of trying to do something. It moves far away from any of the other handheld Link Legend of Zelda games that are out there on the market, so it's a hybrid of the 3D platform Legend of Zelda and the handheld ones. One thing that I do like is the fact that because it's carrying on from Wind Waker, you don't have the same boat. You've got this steamboat that you have this guy who comes along with you.
You've got an uber-powered leprechaun superboat.
And you draw the path and then the boat will go in that path, and you can say stop or start when you want, and you use the stylus to move the camera around and shoot. You basically get like a cannon and add-ons, and you can rebuild the boat and add extra bits on it. It's like Pimp My Boat, but it's just kind of like you build up more better boats as you go along.
Pimp My Boat.
Yeah, it was a joke in the Nintendo magazine, because they were taking the piss out of the fact that you could add loads of extra parts to mean up your boat to make it a little bit more of a battleship. There's some nice little tricks in it where you've got a map and you've got to try and find something, so you've got to scratch off bits off the map or tap on it or to move it. One thing that you've used is the microphone is inherently built into the game. So when you Link walks near a candle, if you blow on the microphone, Link will blow out the candle. Same when you had a dusty map, you have to blow all the dust off and stuff like that. So it's added a lot more elements to the puzzle of the game, as well as the fact that it is a multiplayer game. Not in the same sense of Four Swords, but in the sense of it's one-on-one. So one person plays Link, and you have to get all of the Triforce shards to your area. So you'll be a red Link, and you've got to move them across. And while you're doing that, your opponent plays as the guards. And what he does is, instead of being one guard, he's all three of them. So he will click on the guard, and then draw a path for that guard to walk at. And the other screen that you can't, that isn't touch sensitive, is the camera for that guard. And he's got a view, and if he sees Link, he'll jump at him and swing with a sword, and then it's game over, and you swap over the offensive. So the other guy becomes the blue Link, and he's got to grab all the shards and move them across. So you keep jumping back and forth and see how many can get the most shards of the Triforce into your area. So because the other person is playing Link, the other person will play three guards, so you have to control all three of them. So you click on one, draw a path, click on the other, draw a path, and you have these safe zones, and when Link is stood in these safe zones, the guards can't walk into the safe zones, neither can the other person see Link on the map anymore. So it's quite a nice multiplayer game, as well as the fact that it is built in with one card system, so you only need one copy of the game to play it. There is the ability to play it two player with two copies of the card. I don't know what extra that gives you. I've not read the manual. But I've had a quick go on multiplayer at work. It was very cool. I'm playing it at work most of the time, so it's something to keep me occupied in my lunch break. But as a Legend of Zelda game, wow, go out and buy this. If you're a fan, if you've got a DS, if you don't have a DS, it is worth going out and buying it for the DS. If you weren't a big fan of Wind Waker, I think you may still like this, because it is inherently Wind Waker, but it's a completely new game. You know, you may get on with this one a lot more. And for a handheld Legend of Zelda, it is very cool. I've got the feeling that you don't have to go around and shed loads of islands. It's a lot smaller, but it's still quite a large place. It's more in the sense of there's a lot more puzzles, and a lot of puzzles for doing simple tasks, because you kind of, they don't give you too many hints. You've got to figure it out for yourself. One thing that's very cool is the fact that they don't tell you where anything is on a map. And you've got these kind of like, if anybody's played Ocarina of Time, there was always these bing bong statues that when you hit it, it tells you what the time is, and if you did the thing with the mask and stuff, it would do different things. I can't remember, it was a long time since I played that one. They got them back in, and when you hit them, they tell you a little hint or something. When you're in the dungeons, you hit one, it will offer you 20 rupees to tell you where a treasure chest is. But it will
only... Rupees?
Yes, the crystals that you sell.
That sounds familiar from somewhere. A rupee.
It's always been the currency for the Legend of Zelda games since the NES. But he will only show you for a short period of time on the map. Here's where the cool thing was. You either press a map button, or you press down on the control pad, and the screens swap over, allowing you to use the stylus and draw. You can annotate your map at all times, and you have lots of different maps. You've got the dungeon map, you'll have the island map, you'll have the sea chart, and all of these can annotate, and they do not wipe. You've got a rubber. If you make a mistake or you don't want it all over the map, you have to wipe them out. So one will be like, this door will not open unless you find out where all the lanterns are and actually light them. One of them would ask you where things are, and you've got to place on the map on this door and say where they are. So you've got to go find them, mark them on your map, so when you come to this map you have to draw them on and the door opens. There's been ones where you've had to draw, you've got to count something and write them down. I've had pieces of paper on the wall telling me what order to pull different switches. So instead of having to find a book and write them down, you just write them on your map. So you've got annotations of your map saying push lever 1 second from third first, and then and so on. So it's got that kind of intuitive ability that you've got to be able to remember where stuff is, so you annotate your own way. Like, I've been drawing tiny little squares to show where treasure chests are, because this guy that you get 20 rupees, he will show you where the chest is on his map, and then on your map you go, right, chest is there, draw it in, and then you go away and he goes, are you ready? And then he'll disappear the map, and then you know where it is for later. So it is kind of cool that you get to use this map system all the way through.
Quick update. Yep. According to Mr. Wiss in the chat room, a rupee is used in India, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka.
Yeah, as a currency. And also Hyrule in The Legend of Zelda. As a Legend of Zelda game handheld version, this beats all expectations. I will definitely give it 5 out of 5, just for the fact that this is the best handheld game ever. I must admit, it's going to be, for some fans, it's going to be incredibly hard to top the one that was on the SNES. And it has always been a big favourite because it made what Legend of Zelda is today, in the way that with the Master Sword and everything else, and the sound, the music, the people, the environment and the places have all continued on from there. And fair enough, this is a Wind Waker version, but it still
sounds like Moonraker or something.
It's still very good, and I am very impressed. Stylist, amazing. Good way of controlling it. Little things like you have to draw circles around Link really quickly to make him do the spin attack. If you wave the stylus in front of him as he's running, you can slash attack.
Is it 2D or 3D?
It's full 3D. It looks very close to the actual Wind Waker game on the GameCube. So it's using their 3D engine system like the N64 graphics. But it's done really well. And because Wind Waker was cel-shaded, the style is very easy to copy with the graphics. And for the size of screen, it looks fine. And it's really, really good. So everything's kind of like always, the map is always pointing up. You can't move the camera or anything like that. But Link is running around in a 3D version of himself in a similar style to the handheld games. But it's absolutely amazing with the controls. The puzzles are absolutely brilliant. A lot more puzzles in there. It's not too hard, but you still got to work everything out. Spend a bit of time reading some stuff and go, ooh, right, okay, that makes sense. I've got to go back to there. Oh, where the hell was it? Well, you make notes as you go along. It's not large amounts of notes. You put a little symbol here. You got to try and shoot this golden frog jumping out of the ocean. You draw a little picture of a frog there.
Golden frog in an ocean?
Yeah, he's swimming around between the islands.
How did a frog get out in the middle of an ocean?
I don't know, he's golden, maybe he's got powers. But
ridiculous. It's almost as ridiculous as a North Korean
thing. You're still pissed off at that, aren't you?
Why ruin a perfectly good game with bullshit like that?
But, 5 out of 5, definitely go out and get it. It does everything it says on the box. It is Legend of Zelda, and it's here on the DS. If you don't have a DS, it is worth buying for this game. I've got pretty much all the Legend of Zelda games, and it meets my as a big fan, as you can see, because I'm wearing a Legend, well, you can't see, but Paul can see, I'm wearing a Legend of Zelda t-shirt as we speak, with three pieces of the Triforce on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see?
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Love it. That's all I got to say for it. Go out and buy it.
5 out of 5?
Definitely 5 out of 5.
What about Orange Box?
Orange Box,
one out of 5.
No, I give that I'll give that 4 out of 5. So, because part of it is an old game, old engine, it's not bringing anything majorly new to it, but it is giving you great fun for a good price for 5 games. It's giving you what normally would only be available to the PC player, so it's nice that they are giving a nice version of the PC copy to the Xbox 360. It's definitely worth its money for 5 games being able to play that. So yeah, 4 out of 5.
Okay, so is that it for this week?
That's it for this week.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
We will close the show.
And I gotta go build some IKEA drawers.
And me, I will try some different fingerprint reader software for my computer.
We shall see you guys next week.
Later.